Hey friends, Crystal with a K here, welcoming you to another Steepy Watch. And what an explosive surprise as Dantonic unveiled a new Gutter City nighttime spectacular that they are calling the 11th Avenue Massacre. This show, which features lots of exploding cars and pyrotechnics, has been toned down since the surprise premiere last week, but still, we are obsessed! This show replaces the last show, A Golden Night at the Gutter City Follies, which had frankly gotten a little stale. So if you are hoping to spend part of your Gutter City trip watching a 23-person kick line, or Sugar Boy, the seal that burps the alphabet, I hope you never know when to stop dreaming.
It is an incredible pity, my dear Shookles. You have lost your 8th game of side chess to me in a row. My poor friend.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Adventure Zone.
What happens?
What are the stakes?
Does he lose his soul at what? 8 games?
What about poor Shookles?
Well, I mean, it's just like he's just clowning on Shookles, I think. That was my interpretation of it.
Okay.
I think he's just clowning on Shookles for being bad at side chess. That's my interpretation of the thing that I just heard with you guys for the first time.
Okay.
Welcome to the Adventure Zone. Steeplechase, we're calling this one. At the end of the last episode, you all had just made your escape from onto the by rail. And you are in the sled underneath the by rail with Gravel, who has just informed you that the barristers are after you. And I would like to pick up the moment that Gravel has pulled Montrose up onto the sled.
Ow.
Okay, so you're saying that we are... murderer. Well, technically, okay, hold on. Let's compartmentalize this immediately. You're saying that Emmerich is a murderer.
I think it's manslaughter if they die after the fact.
Manslaughter? Well, that's nothing!
It's... the distinction ain't gonna matter to the barristers.
And that's like police?
You don't know the... of course. I keep forgetting how green you are. I've only seen him once or twice, but here's what I know. There are 3 of them. They're cast off. Some of the last animatronics that Denton used in the park from the wonder of the American judicial system. They were sort of the villains. But when they shut that down, those just kind of were left to rot. And a guy, real dumb... named Hancock. He tried to fix him up because they found him in scrap. But, like I said, he was not too smart. He rigged them so that if anybody came after him, they'd come after them twice as hard. Well, somehow, he got all mixed up. Now anybody who kills anybody in the Buttercream is going to have the barrister's answer for. They only care about murdering. You rob, cheat, steal, all that. It's fine by me. But you kill, the barristers will come. And these are not hard, like, not easy to wave away. These are proper robots. And they are coming for you, Emmerich.
And
Because of what I did to Hard Doug?
No. Because when you shocked Trash Bag, he died.
And these rotted animatronics are like badass? Is that what the kind of takeaway is?
Well, you can't stop them. You heard them, they just pick up more scrap. They keep getting smarter. I keep losing this voice. It's gravel. She's British. So I'm just trying to just imagine, like, if it doesn't sound British, if it sounds like, it's hard to talk for long periods of time.
Yeah, know? sure. Especially harder. British, I've learned.
Especially British. It starts getting away from you. Anyway, so to save you the exposition from gravel, that's what she knows about the barristers. These are three unkillable.
The one thing I can say for you, they're slow. You have to keep moving. You can go back to Eustabin if you need, but you can't stay in Eustabin. If they catch up to you, all right. If they catch up to you, you're done. You have to keep moving.
Okay. I don't want to seem touchy or short, but that is definitely a problem. But there seems we have more immediate problems where I'm starting to lose feeling in my right arm, and both Montrose and Emmerich had their clocks cleaned pretty good. We need some downtime to recover. We need to hold up somewhere for a little bit and get ourselves back in sorts, as it were.
So
he does not speak for me. I am having the time of my life right now. I'm very sorry about the murder that did take place, even though I had very little to do with it. And in fact, I did try to warn Trashbag, if you do recall. So I washed my hands of the whole thing. We are actually gravel. This is embarrassing. We do need to wrap up a score. We have sort of launched our own enterprise.
Oh, congratulations!
Well, thank you very much, one professional.
Always nice to have another, criminal running around.
I find that hard to believe that you would celebrate
sarcasm,
that.
No, it's sarcasm, but yeah.
Yes. So we are heading to Eustabin for a payoff, and then we can figure out where to squirrel away Mr. Dreadway until these robots, I don't know, lose interest.
No.
Oh, dear.
No, that robots don't lose interest, right? It's in their programming. But okay. I do know that they came through Eustabin already looking for him.
Well, then we're fine.
They're probably one step behind and probably digging through Gutter City. So you've got a little time in Eustabin if you need it.
Well, then let's go cash out. Because no matter what, we are going to need some assets if we are going to start a new life for Emmerich, and then we'll take it from there.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to head back to Eustabin, where you can get paid. Do you want to do that with Mr. Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry in person?
Yes. I don't know any other way to do it. Yes.
Well, I mean, you don't have to play out payoffs.
I think in this case,
yeah.
I would like to.
I think narratively it's important. You all head up to, he's not going to come back down and sully himself. So you all head up to Prize Pantry, up to the main offices. They have, it is of course spotless again. All of your terrible mess has been cleaned up, and you enter into the doorway of Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry. His knob is a candy cane. It's so cute.
Welcome, boys. Welcome.
Wait, why are you talking about Sticky Finger Paul Pantry's knob?
What?
His knob is a candy cane?
Oh, you're doing
cane?
Kind of a South Park joke. Okay, good. Okay,
yeah.
Welcome, boys. Welcome. How did it go? Tell me everything.
This job went great, I will say. We may have suffered a few scrapes and bruises here and there. We have received, I would say, some unfortunate news about Pryor. Jobs that we may or may not have undertaken, but this one was great.
I mean, I guess.
Let's see it.
Okay. It's great in that we finished it and did the thing. You know, I guess the bumps and bruises are part of the trip as well. So, yeah, Imric, show him
the journey is more important than the give me the prism.
All right. Imric?
What? What?
Can you give Mr. Paul Pantry the prism, please?
Certainly. And for the first time, he looks up because he's been staring holes in the ground the whole time and makes eye contact with Sticky Fingers, but he doesn't see Sticky Fingers. He sees Hard Dug, and he especially sees the look that was in Hard Dug's eyes when he died. And Emmerich just extends the prism towards Paul Pantry and just breaks down in tears, just sobbing. Oh my God. I am so sorry.
Yes, the emotions tend to run pretty high after a job like this. This is normal stuff. So he does this all the time.
Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry takes the prism, and you see him like shake it. And then he kind of like looks at it.
This is it. I can't believe it. You boys did it. You're fantastic. Now let me talk to you.
And he crouches down and he puts his hand on Emmerich's shoulder.
Hey, you want a butterscotch?
No, thank you.
Now, don't be rude. The man offered you a butterscotch.
Fresh. You want a fresh butterscotch? I don't know what your problem is, but I got to...
Here, and he pulls out a foil-wrapped butterscotch candy, and then he holds it in front of you.
Thank you. Is it a Werther's?
I would not sully my head. You know, my stepmother. I hate my stepmother. I wouldn't give my stepmother a Werther's original. Heartbreaking. No, that is a Sticky Finger Paul Pantry. Extra chewy, extra sweet. Butterscotch-o-rama. The new.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will treasure it.
Well, eat it. You know, it's our museum. The candy.
I think I'd rather save it and eat it later.
Yeah, sure. Pull it out at a narrative appropriate moment. Six sweets. That's what I owe you, boys. Hang on one second.
And he transfers that amount of money to you.
Yeah. I collect the orbs. the glowing multicolored spheres that he hands.
Sweets are so you don't know. It's an abstract measurement. Coin in blades is like it's an abstract measurement of money. He gives you six monies and you have them, but it's not like, I don't know, maybe it's stacks of cash. Who knows? It's unimportant. But he gives you your six sweets.
Now, before you go, there's a second part of the deal for me to keep my mouth shut about your actions in my place of business. I need you boys to hold the clean for me. I want to be able to drive it around, you know. What I was hoping was maybe you could rig up something so I could get behind the wheel again at your arcade whenever I wanted to. Just take it out for a spin, you know.
So you want to use our arcade as your own little virtual racetrack, is what you're saying?
I mean, if other people wanted to use it too, that's fine. As long as I know I can get to it, they can keep a secret.
What I am opening up here is, and I want to walk into it if you guys feel good about this. We've kind of talked obliquely about it, but I wanted to put it to you like this. I want you, I think that this could be the first part of a new arcade experience where the things that you've reclaimed can be part of your why you're bringing things back, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've talked sort of about that, but like I think that if you, we don't have turf in this game in the way that Blades normally would. So I think the idea of expanding your offerings at your den of illicit entertainment, I think could be a good parallel for that idea. And so that is what Paul Pantry is asking you. And it's not something you have to say yes to, but I do want to explain what you are dealing with here is the idea that you can steal these things and put them up at your place of business. And that opens you up to some danger, but it could also open you up to some possibilities. Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah. You know what, Paul? It seems like a win-win.
It seems like it opens us up to a not insignificant amount of danger, having you come to our place of business whenever you choose to enjoy our stolen wares. It seems like you're maybe not so much releasing us from your blackmail hold. As much as you maybe suggested before we took this job.
Here's what I can do. You make this a place where me and some of my more discreet friends can go tool around in the clean whenever we want, and you can run used to it. This will be your place. No crime here unless it goes through you. Nobody's really running it anyway. You know, it's all very disorganized.
I do believe that Poppy will have some strong feelings about this arrangement.
I you know what, Montrose? I think we're kind of past the point of worrying about A, danger, and B, other people's feelings.
Yeah. No, for me it was more of a logistical concern than a personal one, but I hold Poppy very near and dear to my heart, and I would hate to trample on his... No, I don't give a shit about Poppy. I just don't want him to catch wise to our plan.
If you're worried about that, I have ways of dealing with Poppy.
I am intrigued. You don't mean murder, though, do you? Because apparently some people in this organization have pretty strong feelings about that.
No, not murder. I just cut him in, you know. He'll learn what side his bread is apple buttered on.
Well, then, it seems we have an arrangement. How does this work? Do we sign something, or...?
No, you just... Don't screw me over, because I have a video of you doing crimes.
Okay.
Easy. You don't screw me over, and I won't screw you over, because you know that I'm driving around my incredible stolen truck.
Emmerich, do you think that you are going to be able to snap out of whatever fugue state you currently find yourself in to provide this virtual racetrack experience for our friend? I will take your sort of comatose silence as a yes, an enthusiastic yes.
Adapting the prism into that use would be very doable, as opposed to copying it. But I think if I had the prism as a foundation, I would be able to construct something that would accomplish what you want.
Well, there you go.
Perfect. Get out of here.
Okay, so you guys have 6 suites. I think...
We already have 10 in our crew pockets.
You have 10?
Well, I'm sorry, we have 4.
You have 4, and this would make 10.
Yes.
Right.
Your lair has a secure vault, increasing your storage capacity for coin to 8. A second upgrade increases your capacity to 16. A separate part of your vault can be used as a holding cell. So this is a crew upgrade.
Yeah.
You can each hold 4.
Yes.
You can put 4 in the lair.
Yes.
So we should be okay. What's your all's personal stash right now?
I have 0
as well.
You spent yours...
Last
Dad, did you spend your?
I don't.
You got a suite for the last job. Okay. So you could take this six and divvy it up however you like. Put some into the vault if you want. Like I said, your vault is currently full.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I don't. Okay. So we had, you got two coin for, there's two suites for the David Red job, right?
Yes. Two total.
Two total. And then the first one is four total. So we have four in the vault. You spent two. That all tracks.
I definitely spent some in the last downtime, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So did Travis.
Okay.
So this is what I'm saying. There are four coins between all of you and the vault. There are four coins, four suites. Dang it. It's hard to have it to break. So you just got six. You can each take two and leave those four in the
stash. I think that makes the most sense, so we don't have to burn an upgrade right now.
Yeah, let's do that. And then if we decide to upgrade to a vault, we right. can.
Okay. So that is your coin distribution. That is great. We are now going to talk about heat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's not as bad. I think that for assigning heat to that, what just happened, I don't think it's too bad. Heat is representative of Denton and their attitude towards you all and how big of a threat you are and how, you know, the extent to which you need to be dealt with. Most of what happened in the last thing was according to plan for Denton. You know, the chase, all that stuff, that's part of the show. So I don't think it would be too terrible, honestly. I think that you all, let's see, two heat is contained standard exposure. Ah, but the wedding. What happened at the wedding?
I got them distracted by an old slouchy man.
Uh-huh.
Played loud music on accident.
Yeah.
And then I ran away.
And then you did get caught.
You did knock three you did guys. Get oh,
that's right. The fountain. And they did recognize me, didn't they?
They did.
Well, they said they did. He said, looks like Beef Punchley, but you were
that could mean
in,
anything. Yeah.
You were covered in chocolate.
The man, if the wedding hadn't been part of the Denton family, I don't
oh,
think
fuck.
It would have been as hard. You guys don't listen to the intros, do you? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and give you, you know what? I'm going to say three heat. We'll split the difference. John Harper doesn't say I can do that. But he's got my email if he wants it. He's got a problem with me. You know where to find me, John. You're not wanted yet, so that's good. You're also going to get some reputation. You went up in that against the underworld of Gutter City, a faction that is a tier two. And since that means they're two above you, you're going to take one, two, three, four reputation.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So that we're almost four, four, we're almost 7, 8, 9. So. Three more you can upgrade your tier for if you have some money. The last thing we want to do in terms of the crew and faction stuff. You did let's see. Your faction with the Gutter City criminals dropped to a negative one. You did some crime, but you were weird about it. they didn't like that because normally they do the crimes. So you're negative one with the people of Gutter City who are criminals. But the in the crew sheet, you can see the sort of map for upgrades, right?
Yeah.
You can claim turf in either direction as part of the and then above and below you, those other claims. Some are turf. Some are like bonuses that you can have, whatever. Sticky Fingers Paul Pantry has granted you carte blanche in Eustabin, in as much as it's in his ability to do so. So I, looking at this map, I just need you guys to choose the left or right turf, depending on sort of which way you want to go.
Can we not go up or down?
Well, those aren't turf. You
okay.
just got turf. So I'm going to give you one of these turfs.
I think
T-U-R-F, by the way.
Yeah, no, people know we're not
in this game.
Yeah.
I think we should move towards side business because that seems like the direction we're headed with the arcade. But I think Vice Den could also possibly work for that, but I don't think it's as accurate.
Yeah, I agree. I say we move into the left turf because that also gives us access to informants. I don't know if we're ever going to go into the Deathlands.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Sounds
that
cool,
won't
though.
Be that won't be a safe passage into the Deathlands. As cool as that sounds, that is there's not a layer in Steeplechase that is the Deathlands.
So, Trav, do you think side business as opposed to cover operation?
Yeah, because we don't want people to know about our illicit video games.
Okay,
and so a cover operation would be something we're hiding behind, gotcha. Versus something we okay. are hiding.
Yeah, I think then move to the left and
okay.
work on side. I mean, Griff, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think
these are also all malleable. Like we can change any of these. It's just give us an idea. So that I have given you the claim on Eustabin. That is now represented in this map. So that is handled. Normally, you need to take a claim, but I feel like in these areas where there isn't a criminal element, it could be something that's just sort of like. You know, you grabbed yourself. You're not.
What about crew advancement? What about crew advancement?
So crew advancement, you need 12 reputation to do that right now. You actually, because you claim that turf, you only need 11 to make that happen now because you have.
Well, we need to mark some crew advancement points, right? Because
yeah, we haven't been doing that at all.
Yes.
We have not tangled with the crew side of this game.
Right.
Really at all. So we're trying to rectify that.
Play catch up on that.
Yeah, we're supposed to mark experience at the same time that we do our own personal experience at the end of each session. We get experience for executing successful smuggling or acquire new targets, new clients or contraband sources, contend with challenges above our current situation, bolster your crew's reputation or develop a new one, or express the goals, drives, inner conflict, or essential nature of the crew.
So I would argue where we're at with that is we successfully smuggled the pin in your tummy.
Yeah.
We then connected with Paul Pantry as a client.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Darla as a client.
Okay. Marked it.
We successfully smuggled the clean.
Yes.
We smuggled the non-nude photos of David Rad.
The challenges above our current station, you said that they were a higher tier than us in both cases. Bolstered your crew's reputation.
Let's just call it one level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we won't get too precious about this. Okay. So, yeah, you went up. Yes, a new special ability, guys. What are you thinking? We have switched over to the smuggler crew sheet from the hawkers. It seems more accurate to what you are what you are doing.
Well, I think Renegades looks pretty good for us since we always seem to be making a lot of finesse, prowl, and skirmish roles.
That is
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that too.
It's not as exciting as some of the other ones. I like all hands. During downtime, one of your cohorts may perform a downtime activity for the crew to acquire an asset, reduce heat, or work on a long-term project.
Yeah.
That's kind of a neat idea. I don't know who our cohort would be
Poppy,
in this scenario.
Paul Pantry.
I don't know. Paul Pantry is going to do fucking work for us.
What about the thug you hired?
Benson. My intern.
Benson is a beloved character for me to voice. So if you want to bring on Benson full-time as a cohort.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we think? All hands or Renegades? I think All Hands has more creative opportunities, and I think Renegades we would use.
Here's the only thing that I would say. Well, I guess it doesn't really. What is more narratively interesting in like the making? I worry All Hands is more passive. Would be my only worry, but I don't know. It's up to you all.
It might lend itself to better stories.
You think
Renegades would lend itself to gameplay for us, but that doesn't necessarily make it a better story.
Yeah, I think having Benson working in the arcade while we're out and about presents narrative opportunity.
We could also make that Poppy if you want. I mean, if you want to bring in,
I don't
Poppy
want anything to do with that old freak.
Okay. I'm going to give you all hands then. During downtime, one of your cohorts may perform a downtime activity for your crew, and we'll need to add Benson as a cohort here.
Did we just leave his ass behind in Gutter City?
He'll find his way down, I'm sure.
Yeah. He's like the pets from the Homeward Bound. He's going to find me. He's got my scent now. The one thing, J-Man, in faction, I also have a +1 with, like, gamblers. I don't know if that would count towards a faction.
Yeah, we'll put them in the underworld.
Okay, great.
If you encounter... let's see, gamblers. How many are there? I think that we're going to call these two. Yeah. This is like a loose affiliation.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it two. I know this isn't exactly, that's more representative of the number of people, but anyway. You got a stronghold, and I'm going to say your status with gamblers. You really only have faction with, like, per crew, right? Like, you can only have individual rep.
Right.
But I am going to give you a 1 with gamblers.
Perfect.
To represent that connection that you forged.
Okay.
Great. Great. So that's our stuff. Let's talk about your own personal downtime escapades.
Right. Well, I don't have any stress.
Yeah, I think we all are starting pretty clean. I think Gimrick may have taken some on toward the end there, but...
Yeah, so you don't do vice when you take on trauma. So you don't have to, you know, remove your stress.
Oh, we need to pick our traumas. Can we have a scene? Can we have a scene at Poppy's place before we like hop into our own individual stuff?
I think that's great. Like, you guys debrief? Just make it back after your meeting. Maybe Emmerich is. You think he started to tinker with this thing, or Emmerich, or is he not in a place for that right now?
I don't think he's quite there yet, but I do think that when you head back to Poppy's place, I think he says, whatever you fellows decide is fine with me. And he goes straight back to his lab.
I look beef. I say, we are going to need to do something about that.
Yeah, I don't know what, but he is shaken.
Yes. Well, accidentally snuffing out a life will do that to you.
I don't think that's it. He was like that before we found out. You were unconscious. But, before we even got to the sled, he was a little messed up.
I tend not to sort of dabble in the personal affairs of my coworkers, but we'll think of something. Maybe we can get him a pastry basket.
Yeah, that might help. I mean, a lot of problems can be solved with eating. I got hunger.
So listen, I think that we are on the brink of something. You know what? If I'm going to give an inspirational sales pitch, I should do it with all parties sort of in attendance.
Okay.
I fucking sneak into Emmerich's. I knock the door to Emmerich's lab with a little pastry basket. Hey. Hey, buddy.
What? What? What is it?
We got some scones. And also, we need to talk business if you can manage to pull yourself together for just a moment.
Fine.
I wouldn't press the issue. It's just that robots are chasing us, and it seems like our time may be brief. So
I know. That's why I am trying to get done. Listen, Montrose. I am very serious. I will do whatever you and Lyndon decide to do. I just need. Accomplish one thing. I need to get this done, and whatever you two decide will be fine. All right,
if you're sure.
Yes.
Montrose, can I talk to Emmerich for just a second?
Sure. Alone?
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Emmerich,
I'm going to give you some bad advice, but I think it's advice that you need right now. I've been through some shit in my life, and I've had things go very wrong, and I, you know, have lost my career and friends and a lot of stuff over some things. And I'm not 100% sure exactly what you're going through, but with the danger that we face and the jobs we keep getting asked to do, I think you need to work on compartmentalizing a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Montrose. And whatever it is you're going through right now, there will be a time for you to go through it. And there will be a time to just let yourself feel whatever it is you're feeling right now. But you need to just pack that away for a little bit and focus on the job at hand and operate at your highest capacity and just bottle that right up.
Beef, my friend, I appreciate that more than you realize. But let me say this. This is all my fault. Those creatures are coming after us because I murdered someone.
Manslaughtered.
And I killed Hard Doug, not realizing what I had done. I have much to atone for. Oh. Your fates are in my hands. And I want to make it all right. I know what you're saying, and this is how I am going to deal with the danger. If you would please just trust me, I can make this all right. And I just need that trust. I just need you to trust me, just as I trust you and Montrose to make whatever plans you want to make. I have to do this. I have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you do whatever you need to do. We'll be handling the blue sky and...
And do eat something, though, because that will help.
Do eat some of these scones, though.
I'll eat the butterscotch.
Okay? No, you need something that's going to fill your belly. I mean, butterscotch is going to give you an immediate sugar burst, but...
Fine, look.
Oh, God.
I'm eating the scone.
I mean, eat it normal. Jesus Christ.
Now, please, let me come back.
All right.
So, is that apricot?
All right. We'll leave you to it. He's going to be okay. So,
is that what you took away from that?
Yes. So, next job. What are we thinking? Stealing a spaceship? Maybe
next job.
There's a knock at the door.
Yes. Who is it? We're compartmentalizing in here. Can you give us 15?
Hey, boys, it's good to see you.
Get out of here, you old pervert. Get your ass out of here.
Lemonade, anybody?
You old freak. You speak when spoken to, Poppy.
No, you're right. I'll be outside if your boys need me.
Nasty old freak.
Oh, you're right, as always. I'm a nasty freak. I'll get back to work.
That did my heart good, Macho.
That cheered everybody up.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
My fellow graduates, for 500 episodes, my podcast, The JV Club with Janet Varney, has gathered story after story of all the scandalous things we've done throughout our childhoods.
Wait, what's happening?
Stories like how Jamila Jamil survived a horrific house party and she was on crutches.
This is great. great.
Or how Hal Lublin learned a Shakespearean monologue in his pajamas.
This is not the speech we approve.
Without your love and life tragedies, there would be no podcast. In fact, I'll have an exclusive look at how Maggie Lawson's mom confronted her after a sneaky basement meetup with her crush.
Spill the tea, JV.
Security!
Listen to the JV Club with Janet Varney Thursdays on Maximum Fun! Class of Forever!
Hey, I'm Ben.
And I'm Adam.
We host a show called Greatest Trek on Maximum Fun that covers all the new Star Trek ships, Lower Decks, Strange New Worlds, Picard, Prodigy, Discovery, and any other new Star Trek show Paramount throws at us.
Come find out why we're the most important Star Trek podcast on the internet with our funny, informative recaps of all the new Star Trek shows that Paramount keeps churning out.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation.
Could I go ahead and do Emmerich's downtime?
Sure.
I do. Before we do that, though, there is this unsettled issue of trauma that you two have taken on. Emmerich is obviously, you can see where trauma is kind of folded into Blades in the Dark to make it something that colors your character. It's not necessarily a help or a hindrance because it's a narrative based game. And you can see the effect of being haunted is having on Emmerich. You boys also took trauma.
Yeah.
And I want to know what that looks like for you.
I'm trying to play that out right now. I am eager to get another gig.
Okay.
I am eager to collect as many of these experiences as we can possibly get our hands on. One, because I do believe it's a lucrative business proposition for us. But two, I think during that car chase, something awakened inside of Montrose, and it was the most fun he's maybe ever had in his entire life. And
great.
So now Montrose has the trauma reckless.
Horny for crime.
Horny for... I don't even know if the crime is like what's exciting to him as much as the...
Okay.
Blowing up a car that he is riding inside of. Like the
adrenaline
danger of it. The yeah. adrenaline of it.
I love that.
Is very good for him.
That's fun. Beef, do you want to play yours out in a scene or
yeah.
do you want to
yeah.
just sort of
Yeah, I know what it is, but it'll show here. Beef.
And you can do it in downtime if that would make sense. However you want to whatever yeah. you want to do.
Beef looks at Montrose and says like, "The next job. We barely made it through that one, and I don't, I'm going to say at this point, definitely all of Emmerich didn't make it through there. My arm is fucked up, and I don't know. The next one, we might not make it back at all. At this point, we should be focusing on laying low, keep moving, and figure out a way to stop the barrister stuff, and then get out."
And those are all great points that we should have considered before we agreed to become the fucking kingpins of Eustabin. So, it seems like keeping the business up and running and profitable and growing and keeping our cachet as experienced smugglers developing, because I disagree with you. I think we have a knack for this.
Yeah, a knack for chaos. Blowing up, God knows, God, hope the people driving the police cars were hard light, or else we didn't just murder like one or two people. We blew up a lot of cars.
I think that counts, that's manslaughter.
Jesus Christ, it's all so much. I mean, it's getting wilder and wilder each time we go out. I don't know if I can handle it. For you well, see, Beef has gone soft.
Oh,
we got soft to beef.
You don't want to be reckless with me?
No.
Boys, sounds like you got some real dramatically interesting conflicts in there.
Poppy, I swear to God!
A nice narrative, bro. I'll get going.
Okay, you take whatever time you need, Beef, but we are all in the same boat right now, and it seems to me that our best plan of attack here is to fortify our position. That does not mean to hunker down and batten down the hatches. It means to grow and become untouchable. That's the dream, isn't it?
The dream right now is to figure out a way to get Emmerich off whatever these robots' radar are and not get, you know, murdered by them. And then I guess we'll see. I right now, frankly, my arm is throbbing and I can't focus beyond the immediate future.
Okay, well, I think you've earned a little R&R.
And in my downtime activity, I want to get my arm fixed.
Okay, tell me what that looks like.
What is, like, medicine like in Steeplechase?
Well, in the buttercream, we have a surgeon / tailor. But I don't know if this is a surgical procedure. But we
here's what I would say, Trav. If you... good, man. It's nice when it works out. If you present these, you could, as an employee of Dentonic, you could get these wounds fixed by the Denton on staff medics. You know, injuries do happen frequently here. That won't be that's no issue. But you are going to need to answer some questions. I mean, there would be a trade-off there, right? If you're going to Dentonic to get fixed up, you can absolutely do that, but that will come with some level of risk.
Okay. I think instead, Beef is going to attempt to like do like a splint and a sling for himself for his wrist, and maybe just be a little less effective for a little while that recovers. Because Beef is not great at answering questions. That is not necessarily Beef's strong suit. So I will maintain the harm of the sprained wrist with the -1D. But try to like stabilize it and rest it as best I can with my recovery.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like a clock to see when that's recovered or what that deal is, but that's what I would like
to do. Well, we sort of hacked that in the last downtime, didn't we?
Yeah. What did we do? What did we arrive at, Griff?
So in episode 3, when I went to Spoker for my pin-based injury, we used this hack for recovery where you roll according to your healer's like level. Their quality, I guess, for an NPC, which was, I believe, 3 dice for Spoker. And then you will, depending on the result, clear a certain number of harm levels, or not clear them, but bump them down one level. And if you bump lesser harm down one, it just disappears. So that's how you clear that.
Okay.
So if that's what you're doing, if you're going to Spoker, we would need to do that same thing.
Okay, so 3d6?
Yes, that is what you had me roll last time.
All right.
Okay, so I will go to Spoker, the Midnight Toker.
Why are they called Spoker?
I don't know, man. You pick the name.
Spokes on a wheel?
And I rolled 2, a 5, and a 5.
5. So
the 5, you clear lesser harm and move moderate harm down 1.
Okay. So now my sprained wrist is recovering in less effect.
Can you only do that once?
I mean, I guess if he wants to take another action.
But I will take the sprained wrist in recovering, because that makes sense to me. And then I'm going to train. And I'm going to train by... Let's see. I'm going to read How to Win Friends and Influence People to train and sway.
Okay.
And it's, let me look up training stuff.
I think training, you just mark one XP there unless our crew is experienced in training that one particular thing.
Well, Trav, there's no reason for you to read it when you can experience it.
Oh, in a virtual game?
Yes. Head on over to the How to Win Friends and Influence People interactive experience. Okay. Slip on the helmet.
I would call it persons instead of people just to avoid copyright infringement.
Okay, I love that, Dad.
Pretty sure that dude's dead as disco, but...
Yeah, but he's got an army of lawyers. Every dead dude does.
Oh, and he's got concert halls,
and I'll tell you,
colleges.
The worst part about Dale Carnegie's lawyers, they love him. He really won him over.
He's really endeared himself to them, sure.
Well, you see a man in a three-piece brown suit, half sitting on a table in front of a fireplace.
That's charming.
He's old, but he looks impeccable. Well, hello. Nice to see you again, Beef Punchly. And welcome to How to Win Pals and Influence People, Persons. Welcome to How to Win Pals and Influence Persons. I suppose you're here to pick up a few tips. Is that right?
That's right, Jake Carnegie.
Jake Carnegie. That's right.
Probably could have changed his last name.
Yeah, that would have been where I would go with that. Well, what do you want to learn a little bit more about today, Beef Punchly?
I'd love to learn how to convince people to do what I want them to do.
Here's a quote from my great-great relative, Dale Carnegie.
But a different one for legal purposes.
Arouse in the other person an eager want. He who can do this has the whole world with him. What does that mean to you, Beef Punchly?
Just the last name.
I have to make them want to do the thing I want them to do?
Ask questions instead of giving orders.
Okay.
Success in dealing with people depends on a sympathetic grasp of the other person's viewpoint.
Okay. Got it.
Criticisms are like homing pigeons. They always return home.
Okay, I kind of see where that one applies.
Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn of him.
Okay, I think I'm following.
Please insert 3 coins for more platitudes.
I think I'm all set.
Okay, Travis, so you can take... on your sway train.
Can you there's a knock at the door and I come in and I say, oh, Jake, are you Beef? What are you doing here? Are you taking lessons as well?
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at talking to people so I don't have to always be, you know, punching or wrestling or throwing or
that's
jumping.
That's adorable. Kind of stepping into my
couples cost more.
Oh, this is not, sorry. Sorry, I thought I was in at 10:15, but I appeared to be a little bit early.
No, my session's done. If you, oh, I okay. warmed did up he, the seat for you.
did he do the every man's your superior?
Yeah.
Something to learn from? Yeah, that one's weird, huh?
Okay, who else wants to...
Just kind of pick and choose from the lessons I've found is the best route. I also would love to train. We are experienced in resolve training, so we take 2. So I'm going to get this sweet deal because that's going to level me
up. We both are?
Huh?
We both are?
The crew is experienced in resolve training.
Oh, great.
So whenever you do resolve training, which Sway is, you mark 2 experience.
There. Okay, so I mark 2 experience in resolve. Do I also bump up Sway, or is it just... filling out my experience.
You mark 1 XP on the XP track for an attribute or playbook advancement.
If so you have the resolve, not sway.
Okay, yes. So I pick up 2 in resolve. I'm halfway to leveling up resolve. Got it.
Okay. I would like to spend one of my downtime actions doing the same thing.
Okay, great. In what skill?
Resolve as well. With Jake Carnegie.
Oh, okay. Does he know about resolve?
Yeah, that's what he was just teaching me. That's what he was command just teaching you. That's consort what,
that's, sway. Oh,
yeah.
That's under resolve. Perfect. Okay. Well, we don't need to do that.
No, we don't.
Scene. Perfect. But you can go ahead and take that. Who else? Okay.
That's going to bump me up to 3 sway.
Great.
You
want a medal?
Okay. Can I take my other downtime action?
Yeah.
Okay. On my walk back home from Jake Carnegie's place, I am approaching Poppy's place, and I look up, and I remember that cool time that gravel fell through the ceiling of the world, and I realize that I despise taking the train sled as the only means of conveyance between layers. I would like to start a long-term project to develop the ability to move between layers without having to use the train. I imagine this is a combination of, like, figuring out how all that is routed. I think it's probably some, like, climbing, developing my climbing skills a bit with the climbing gear that we've got.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it looks like right now, but it seems like a good use of my time to, if we are going to be smuggling shit, to have more means of egress from any particular layer we may find ourselves on.
Okay. Yeah, we can work on that. I think that is a cool idea. I have some thoughts, so we can start working on that. How big of a clock?
I mean, if I don't know. What are my options here? They're even numbers, right?
No. I can do bigger ones. It's pretty ambitious. Yeah. We're gonna call it an 8-segment clock.
Okay.
That's what we're gonna give you, Mr. Tough Guy. I don't know why it got so hostile.
I don't either. I know a lot of long-term projects are like Tinker and Attune. I figure this is mostly climbing-based, so I was hoping I could roll finesse for it.
If that's the kind of mechanism that you want to do, then that makes sense.
Okay.
What skills are under finesse, or is finesse an action?
Finesse is an action.
Okay. All right. So I want to start creating this clock. While I'm doing that, why don't you go ahead and do your roll?
Okay. You said it's an 8-segment clock?
Yep.
Ooh, that's a big clock. Okay.
Oh, do you want to do 6?
I mean,
yeah,
I
let's do 6. This isn't that big of a deal.
Okay.
Let's do 6. We'll do 6.
All right. So I'm rolling finesse.
And yeah, it does have to be an even number, because it's a clock. I'm sorry, John. You're right. it has to be an even number.
Okay. So that is
a 4.
A 1, a 1, and a 4. Yeah. So we'll take that 4. It's a mixed success and mark 2 segments.
All right. I've made a little clock for you up there called Layer Nav. You should see that. And we will add 2 segments to that.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Well, thank yourself. You did it.
That's it for my downtime actions.
All right.
It's so much easier when you aren't grievously injured and stressed to the fucking max.
Yeah.
Like, you can do more stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of people will forget that, but it's important to remember the less beat up you are, the easier things are. Emmerich, let's talk to you.
Emmerich, first of all, has a playbook advancement. Because he filled up the XP thing again. And I think wants to train in Tinker, wants to advance his Tinker.
Okay.
So is that just a matter of checking one spot in Tinker?
So you can't just mark up Tinker. Wait, sorry. You filled up the experience bar in Insight?
Playbook advancement.
So in playbook advancement, if you got it at the bottom, then you pick a new special skill.
But that's not, I guess you can train that. That's personal training.
If you want to train, if that's what you're talking about, Right. Then you mark an XP in the attribute of insight, prowess, or resolve. And when you fill up those bars, you can add a dot to one of the skills under that attribute.
Yeah. You can also, as a downtime action, do personal training, which would give you a mark of experience in your playbook advancement tracker.
But he just finished the playbook advancement tracker, so what?
So he gets to pick a new special ability.
So you pick a new special ability.
That's not an action. That's just...
You just get to do it.
You just do it.
Second.
I thought you already took one. I thought... How many special abilities do you have?
I have two, but I filled it back up. Unless I should have been filling up insight. How do you fill up insight?
So if you roll a desperate action, you mark XP in that action's
attribute.
I've
been marking it in playbook.
No, playbook advancement is only when you address a challenge with whatever your thing is, express your beliefs, drives, heritage, or background, okay, or you struggle with issues from your vice or trauma during the session.
Then I have filled up my insight.
Okay.
Okay, great. Then you can add another point in any of those four skills.
I'm going to take it in tinker.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you my intent, and you guys tell me what's the best way to do it. Is that okay?
Sure.
I really want to finish this long-term project, which I started last downtime, but I'm not seeing any wedges marked.
Well,
is there any way to fill that?
I thought your long-term project was the Give a Ghost projector.
Yeah, you finished that.
Okay, so you would need a new long-term project and a new clock.
I thought I started it last time.
That's started what?
He's not saying right now.
I'm not saying right now. Okay. Is there any way to finish this long-term project in one downtime? Is there anything I can roll that would finish all four?
I mean...
Crit.
You could use both of your downtime activities on it.
I would like to do that.
Okay.
It really is imperative. He really wants to finish this.
Okay.
So
you got to get four segments is what you're going for. You can.
So basically roll tinker twice, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And I can push?
No.
Can't push.
Okay. Ooh, boy. Shit. Woof-a-doofa. A three.
It's a two, a two, a two, and a three.
That'll net you one segment.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try it again. Well, five is the highest one.
Okay. So that'll be two segments. So you have one segment left.
You could spend a coin to take another action.
That's true. That's a great point, Griffin. Thank you very much.
You can also spend a coin to raise a result level.
Does that work on long-term projects?
Well, I mean, instead of being a mixed success, pushing it to a full success.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. Either way, Dad, you give me a coin, this project's done.
Thank you.
All right.
I give you the coin.
Thank you. I'll put it in my pocket. It's a sweet. Fuck! Okay. Dad's project is done. We'll deal with that when the time comes. It's not like a secret. It's a secret. I mean, he's keeping a secret from you. That's the
score. But you know what it is.
I do. Okay. And the character Emmerich is keeping a secret from you too.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Benson takes a downtime activity.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to give Benson a coin to go make a bribe.
A sweet.
Thank you. Give Benson a sweet to bribe somebody in whatever the Dentonic police force is to lower our heat.
Okay.
He seems like he should be able to handle that.
Well, I was looking for in all hands because we can't lower our heat unless we're incarcerated. So I couldn't find a way to do it spelled out. So I figured I'd come up with a narrative way to do it.
Reduce heat is a downtime action.
Yeah. You can just do that.
Okay, without having to spend the suite. Maybe I just give him some monies.
Well, you use your downtime action, right?
But Benson gets to use the downtime action.
Because of our new crew upgrade.
Okay, so Benson... I don't know
you how describe, they're... You describe what Benson does, Justin.
Okay. Now, the question is how good it's going to work. He's a level one asset, so since he's doing this for you, I'm going to roll two die. No, one die. Yes.
That's fine.
We're going to roll one die and see how he does.
You can't fuck up this roll too bad. You're not going to roll a zero.
Oh,
hey,
five.
Baby. That's five hot shit Benson. Got the hot hand.
All right. He's going to, let's see. He'll
drops
take
it
down.
Two.
He'll take off two of your heat.
Can you describe what he does? What
yes,
does he
and
do?
You're
going to,
so Benson. Benson. Okay. Okay. Benson, wanders over to the, to his his bosses in the Dentonic Corporation. He goes in the break room.
Hey, I need some help. My name's Benson. I need some help. I was working for a guy and he disappeared and I think he died. I'm pretty sure the guy died that I was working for and I don't know what to do. And, anyway, I'm feeling kind of freaked out because I was working here and then I think the guy died.
And the security guards or the Denton people in the break room are just kind of nodding at him. And,
was this the explosion stuff? All that catastrophe? Yeah, I think the guy I heard who was in it, and I think he died.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay. I just keep looking for him, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna keep looking for him. I just didn't know if I should tell somebody. I think he died.
Yeah, just keep poking around. I figure.
Okay.
And Benson goes to. Benson, your asset Benson has not been in contact with you, and he is not there, and he is still in that layer.
This is a purely innocent act.
This
is a
purely innocent
part.
Act where he has there's some suspicion that you died, and so that is going to lower your heat tracker by two notcheroonies.
Nice, great job, Benson.
Yeah, Benson.
Good old Benson.
Benson, that was you know, classic fortune roll. Benson just happened to stumble into helping you all out. Did somebody already take the heat off?
Yep, yes, I did.
Okay, good. I prefer that I do that from now on, just so we don't have a bunch of people clicking on all my great sheets. Thank you very much.
And from now on, can we call Benson Fall Guy?
That's his last name, actually, Benson Fall
Guy. Benson Falgus.
Is everybody done with their downtime actions?
Correct.
I believe so.
Okay, perfect. You are in Poppy's place, and your radio is crackling, and you hear gravel.
Hey, does this still work? Hello?
You got beef.
Yeah, you got us.
Right. So, I know you all want to keep moving, so I think I've got a job for you. Can you come to the buttercream?
Is that safe?
Is anything?
What is anything?
Whoa.
Nice.
So we'll see you in a few.
Yeah. Oh. Yes,
that was
bye.
The cutting out.
Yeah, bye.
Do y'all want to go to... I mean, I don't want to force your hand here, but if you say no, oh boy, I'm just going to hit stop.
yeah, I'll head on up with... let's all head
yeah,
on.
We go.
I am restored by my scones, and I'm ready to face whatever comes.
As we walk to the train.
No matter how horrible and terrifying it is.
As we walk to the train, I point up to the ceiling of the lair, and I say, I'm working on some big ideas. Pretty soon, this train is going to be a thing of the past. We're going to soar through the sky like angels.
So we'll transition from train flight, from train travel to flight travel.
Yeah, so far more. Flight, I don't know. You know, I'm still working on the logistics. It may be like a big spring.
Okay.
That we all stand on, and then boing.
Well, that would be an exciting adventure. Wonderful.
That's the idea.
All right, you hit your stop. You guys roll out. You're getting good at it. It's not that hard to get into this lair at this point. You've done it a couple times.
Right. So the one thing you got to promise me is you don't want to stare when you meet him. You don't want to stare. Just like normal. Like you look at anybody else. You could look at it. Just don't stare, right?
You are going to have to give us more than that.
He's the guy. He's the one you go to when you need something. You need something, you can't find out how to get it. He's the one. We all know him in the Buttercream. We all rely on him a lot, and if he gets mad, it's bad for all of us. So you gotta promise not to stare. But if this goes well, it'll be good for all of us. Rising tide, right?
Okay, yeah.
Certainly.
Is he hideously ugly? Or?
Just don't stare.
Oh, all right.
As you're walking, there's a shower curtain hanging from a pipe that is sort of a makeshift doorway. And she pulls it aside, and you see shelves of what seem to be garbage, but it's all very well organized garbage. And you see in the corner a 7-foot-tall mascot costume, which suddenly starts moving towards you. You realize, unless you miss your guess, it's a giant red cat. And he looks at you. You hope he's looking at you. And he says,
"Hello, my name is Stimson, and you are going to fix this for me."
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.